Right now, it's time to join the mayor of Chapel Hill, Pam
like
Hemminger, for our weekly conversation.
Right.
You can't not boogie to this song.
I know. Yeah, I kind of sweat. Yeah, you have to just, we'll just bounce to this.
I actually like the music that we just sort of generally play on our playlist and all dance along to it, which is super fun because we got this big picture window that looks out on the University Place parking lot, so people can look in and see me dancing.
You're
every
giving
so
everyone
like,
a good day.
It's a good day. Yeah.
Just a good day.
It's a good day. In spite of everything, it's a good day. It's a good day.
Yeah. It's all good.
So how's it going?
It's going well. We had a work session last night, and we brought some items forward to have some more in-depth discussions because our agendas are going to be just packed on the 13th, 20th, and 27th, so that we brought forward the Green Tract because that had gotten bumped a couple times, and actually met with the other mayors and chair of the county commissioners this morning. We get together and talk about things that we're working on together. And just we check in with each other and update each other and see how we can, what's coming up next. So that was good. So it was good. We talked about the Green Tract in more depth about planning forward. So that'll be coming. When you have three entities that own a property, it takes a little longer. We've been including the neighborhoods representatives too to talk about what the future holds here. Right now, we're just looking at how we shift the county-owned headwaters parcel with the Green Tract parcel, so that we protect the best parts of the environment that are sensitive and still get the most bang for our buck with developable land. Mm-hmm. And then the schools were promised a site. They're very interested, so we were strategizing where that would be. I mean, all three boards would have to agree to all of this. So, it like I said, it takes many steps, so we're taking it in steps. That was there. We opened our bids for the new artificial turf at Homestead Soccer Fields.
Okay.
They came in much higher than was expected. There's a lot of infrastructure that has to go in when you put in artificial turf, and we were petitioned by a lot of parents and have done a lot of research on infill, so crumb rubber. I used to know it was chrome rubber. It's crumb rubber versus cork. The EPA has not acknowledged any studies out there whether crumb rubber actually causes any health risks. We don't know.
Did you expect to be having this conversation when you got elected mayor?
Well, I kind of know a lot about soccer, but it's very interesting. Yeah. So we're going to choose to go with cork. It's a little more expensive. Most of the increase in the bid was from infrastructure, though. Some of it was from a difference of this fill. But until we know more, trying out the cork, and our staff went down to see the one in Gaffney, and we think it's a better opportunity. So hopefully all goes well, but the council was new, hadn't been through the 2 years discussion of all this, because we would have to move some budgeting numbers over to cover this, to meet these bid opening requirements to be able to do the project this summer.
So there's safety concerns there, and then there's cost concerns,
right? Yes, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. So, but we don't know if there's truly safety concerns or not. We would rather err on the side of being safer until we know more. Now, I will say the universities are all putting, I mean, everyone else is doing the crumb. It's less expensive, but it's a little tiny crumb pellets there. And if you ate them, which we hope you wouldn't do, but it's much more harmful. So,
Tide Pod America.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay.
So we talked about that as well.
So actually, going back to the bids came up, bids came in higher than expected. That seems to be the case
with
every single thing. So at what point do we start to just sort of add 20% to what we expect and go from there?
So when you're looking to make a cost projection, you're only being able to do about what you know what's going on right now, and then you do actually put contingency buffer plan in there and other things. It's just unfortunate the hurricane season that hit Texas and some of the other has really, really caused construction materials to, everyone keeps thinking, okay, they're not going to go up as much again this month, but they've been going up, you know, anywhere from 5 to 11% every month. And so when you wait a whole year, and that's one reason we want to move ahead with our municipal services building project, because if we delay another year, you could talk about, you know, a doubling of some of the construction materials. And that's just not, it's hard.
Yeah.
So at some point, some of this will come down. I was reading projections today. In the Wall Street Journal, they're predicting that we may have a recession in 2020. I mean, so how do you you can't live on that.
Right,
you have
right.
to keep that in mind. We haven't had a recession in a while. No one's going to think it's going to be a huge one. It was predicted to have been last year at this time, so that didn't happen. And we have a lot of changes coming forward with both our state government budget and our federal budget, and no one's quite sure what the consequences or unintended or intended consequences really will be as the debt climbs on both of those.
Right. Well, there's a lot of like upward pressure on costs. You've got the good economy, which is great, except it drives up costs. You've got the hurricane, which drives up construction costs. Labor shortage has existed for years, and now we're cracking down on immigration, and that reduces the labor force all at the same time.
Yeah, so what will be the consequences of all that?
Yeah.
So when we're putting out bids and looking at these things, you heard that the
And by we, I mean other people.
Yeah, well, the governments, too. Yeah, I mean, and so, because we're in the construction market, too.
Right, right.
The new high school, the renovations at Chapel Hill High are supposed to break ground pretty soon. And, you know, those bids came in really, really high. And so there's just a lot of that going on. So everyone's rethinking. Governments have to move slowly and thoroughly. So by the time you put a number out there to put on a bond referendum, you're years away from when it's, and you don't know, you know it's going to be higher. You just don't. This has been unprecedented how much higher it's been. So that's what we're looking at. But anyway, those are all good. We had a hotel summit on Tuesday. We had 15 to 20 people representing different hotels. We did this last year, too. We brought everybody together and talked about how we work together and collaborate versus competing against each other, and what kind of things can we do to enhance demand demand generators to bring more people to our, and we had Carborough there and the county there, so we all think of ourselves as one. And talking about the different opportunities, talking about updates to things we've done specifically downtown, but to give updates of things going on around so they could, the hotel staff could get, because a lot of the people who work in our hotels don't live here, but they are ambassadors to our visitors who come to our community. So we had both Lori Policelli from the Visitors Bureau and Maureen from, and then Missy Jillian Fox from the UNC Visitors Bureau meeting and talking, and Aaron Nelson came from the Chamber, and Ellen Shannon came from the magazine. And so it really is, it's a great coming together to and figuring out what works. And there's, they had a lot of conversation about MedStay. It's a hotel link up people who are getting health services who need a hotel, and how it's not working very well for the hotel community, and to have more conversations about that. Apparently, Duke has installed kiosks in its hospitals that can direct people to hotels, restaurants, activities.
Oh, that's cool.
So let's take a look at that. And so we're not trying to recreate the wheel here, but we could use best practices.
Yeah,
other
I love
places.
That.
So we're looking at all those kinds of things. So it's great to bring them together. Since we met last year, we had a hotel come online, the AC Hotel.
I was going to say it's a bigger summit this year than
well,
it was
no,
last year.
We had
year,
one
right?
come offline, the Quality Inn that was
oh,
over.
That's
yeah,
right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
we have another one proposed. The True Hotel over near where the Hong Kong Buffet is.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
coming through the system.
And the
right
Days Inn is down, but there's another one going up, right?
Right. Yeah. yeah. So, anyway, talking with that,
yep.
and so that was really good. We had our Food for the Summer kickoff, which was amazing. A Tuesday night, we had Ray, the Sunshine. We had a bouncy house. We had hot dogs and hamburgers, trying to sign kids up for swim lessons, trying to make sure table was there, signing people up to get backpacks. It really was a great turnout, a great event. And thank you to all the volunteers who helped. And the governor's office gave us 4 AmeriCorps summer fellows. So
awesome.
We'll have 4 extra people helping us this summer, and we're very grateful for that as well. And they were great with the kids. It was fun to see the skill set they had in working with children. So we had a great time. One lady even brought her pet snake to the event, so that was interesting. And she's trying to teach people not to be afraid of...
successfully teaching people not to?
Yeah,
all right,
he
good,
was
good.
Big,
yeah.
and he was very... I said he was so calm in his mind there, so... we have empty volunteer slots. We need people to sign up. So putting the call out, please sign up. We've gotten some great businesses to respond to the call for site sponsorships to sponsor the fund buckets.
And it starts next week, right?
It starts on Monday because school is out starting Monday. It'll run, it's supposed to run for 11 weeks. We're still struggling that last 2 weeks working with them. We're trying to figure all that out. We will get it figured out. But it's a lot of fun. I had some children who came to me at the event and said, are we going to get books again this year? So,
nice.
I mean, the kids are, you know, they're looking forward to it. And this is our 3rd year starting up, and we're still learning a few things, but it's fun that the community seems to know it's there and wants to make use of it.
Awesome.
So that was all good, yeah. We had an entrepreneurs roundtable on Wednesday, brought again people together. We do this every other month, talking about how we coalesce and support an ecosystem of entrepreneurship and keep businesses in Chapel Hill, not just the ones from UNC, although they're at the table and they generate a lot. But we have a lot going on in our community, too, and how we get them together. So we're looking for creating that ecosystem, that collision space, that shared working space. We're excited. The group Spaces has taken a lease in the new Hamilton building, so they see an opportunity here, and we're hoping that more will follow along that lines as well. So that was really good.
Cool.
We have the Charting Our Future show and tell work sessions coming up this Sunday and Monday.
Yep.
Please go to our website. We'd love your input. We want lots of input for this. We have our business meeting. Like I said, the next three business meetings are really big, and we'll be doing a reception for our retiring manager, Roger Stansel, on the 20th, so I'll remind you next week about that. We had the ribbon cutting for the Tanier Branch part of the Bowling Creek Trail.
Nice.
I will say, you need to go check this out, because the tunnel with the art is just so cool, and the whole trail looks lovely. We are going to finish the part under MLK. We've gotten clearance from DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, that there's no coal ash that would interfere or expose anybody, so we can finish that connection to the trail. So you'll be able to go all the way from the back of the Northside community over at Carver all the way to the community center.
Nice.
On a green.
How
track.
Is it right now? Do you have to like walk up and cross MLK and walk back down?
Somebody put some 2x4s down there. You can plank
across.
Okay, all right. Yes, we recommend you go up and cross the road.
But if you want, we're going to get
that finished this summer.
Okay,
that's a goal. And we're also going to be trying to get the sidewalk completion along Homestead Road all the way to the Chapel Hill High School finished this summer. Construction projects always take longer, and we try to do a lot of them in the summer because we have less traffic, but it does create traffic jams between all the projects. Mm-hmm. So I'll be back here with you talking about, please pay attention and direct people to our website that shows all the different traffic happenings that are going to be happening this summer. I do know that Eubanks Road will be down to one lane next week for a couple of days while they put in some sewer water infrastructure over there, and they are going to be widening that road. At some point, it will be down for a couple more than just a couple of days. So there's a lot.
We have been waiting for a while for that, so it's all right.
I know. The weather didn't cooperate. You know, the monsoons we had for a couple of weeks there take a while to dry out, and it slowed everybody.
Well, I mean, I was referring to the four-decade process before the decision
was
made. Speaking of three municipalities having to come together with the green track, same thing with the water sewer. So, getting that in is good when it happens.
And hard to say this, but look forward to more trees coming down as we have some permits that were pulled for two. One's mostly in Carborough. The other one is at the corner of MLK and Estes. It's actually listed as a timber property. Mm-hmm. And in order to comply with keeping your designation is that you have to timber it every so often, but throw in the fact that it wasn't timbered the last time it should have been, and there's pine beetle on the one. We're hoping for having conversations to have better selective cutting versus just clear cutting, but I think it's going to be, I know it's going to be really startling to all of us to see when this comes forward that way. It's going to be really hard.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, so go back to Charting Our Future, which the event's coming up on Sunday and Monday at University Place,
so people can
come here and check that out. But
and
Charting Our Future is, and get pizza and have fun. It's going to be great. And it's the future of the town through 2049, right?
Yeah.
Come out and plan what you... And we were talking with Elisa yesterday. Elisa Rogers was on the air with Susan Brown and talking about just the idea of planning ahead 30 years, meaning you can just kind of close your eyes and imagine Chapel Hill as a completely blank slate and say, okay, what do we actually want this town to look like in 30 years, which is cool.
Well, I don't think a completely blank slate, because we don't want to disrupt neighborhoods.
We don't want
to scare people that, we're just going to completely draw it again.
More of a blank slate.
But we're mostly looking along those transit corridors. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're really not talking about going into people's neighborhoods and doing
stuff.
So let's put it into perspective somewhat. But no, it's
the
it's
five
good.
Kind of five spots, right, in town.
Along that. Yep. So yeah, all right. it's good.
Very cool. Townofchapelhill.org for more info. Other things coming up that people want to know about?
So interestingly enough, the mayors of the 40 largest towns are going to be meeting with the governor's office all day on Wednesday next week. That'll be interesting to hear his perspective on. He vetoed the budget yesterday. Mm-hmm. We'll see what's going on and to see what he thinks. He's really good about reaching out to the mayor's group and talking about things that affect us. So working on that. I was going to say, we had our UNC orientation again. It's always fascinating to hear the way they think about how they're expanding. They have over $800 million worth of maintenance needs to take care of on campus. Mm. And they have no plans for Carolina North at this point, and they're really concentrating on what they need to repair, fix, upgrade on campus. I do know they want to expand the Ackland Art Museum. I do know they want to increase the Moorhead Planetarium. So there's going to be some real positive effects back to the community as well. And there's just a lot going on with the university at this point in time with their strategic planning and master planning but to hear their thinking about making sure that they're relevant, making sure that they have the facilities. I mean, the med school got their state grant to rehab, and that UNC Healthcare is expanding to Easttown, as we know, and then going to be building a new surgical tower on campus. So there's a lot moving and shaking around here, and it's done in partnership. We really work together, and this was one of many meetings we get together and we talk about, again, how one's thinking and why, and then give input to each other so that we make sure that we're being inclusive of each other and respectful. And this community has a long history of that, so that's good.
Awesome. Townofchapelhill.org again for more information on town government. Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.